it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
River Island's guest line, Zach Manassian, general manager of the Giants. You hear us okay, Zach? You doing good?
All good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, yeah. You look great. You sound great. Let's do this. You're a handsome man. Get over to YouTube and check out Zach Manassian. Zach, thanks for coming on. So, yeah, like you had the press conference earlier today along with Buster, kind of the exit interview situation. People want to know about the manager. Let's start right with that. I know you guys want to keep close to the vest what you're looking for, but let our listeners know, why not Bruce Bochy? Why does that not fit for you guys right now?
Yeah, I think Buster having the conversation with Boch, it's probably a better question for Buster. But I will say, I think Buster just felt with where we're at this time, just going in a little bit of a different direction. I think I was fortunate to be here with Boch for a year in 2019, obviously Buster for his almost the entirety of his career, and just absolutely think the world of him. And as Buster said, there's always going to be room for him with the Giants organization. And just at this time, just felt like, you know, the managerial search would take us a different direction.
And without getting into names, because I know you guys are keeping it close to the vest, but what type of attributes are you looking for the next manager to help get this team from 81-81 to being deeper in the mix?
Yeah, but Buster's talked about it a little bit. It's something I'm big on, just someone who's going to obsess over the details, obsess over baseball, obsess over being a Giant. I think that's what our fan base deserves. No little thing is too small for us to do extremely well. And someone energetic to come to the ballpark and challenge our players on a daily basis. So hopefully we can find that. I think we will.
We're talking with Zach Manassian, the general manager of the San Francisco Giants. And obviously Bob Melvin dismissed earlier this week. And then both Zach and Buster had their kind of exit interview, season closing press conference earlier today. Zach, here's one thing that I kind of wanted to dig into, which is that earlier in the year, when the team kind of went through their pre-trade deadline dive, there were all these questions around the clubhouse and with you guys of like, what is it? Can you put your finger on what's wrong? And a lot of guys gave a shoulder shrug of like, man, we can't figure it out. If we knew, we would tell you. Now that there's been another handful of months, I'd sort of ask you the same question. Like, what was it, do you think, that ailed the team this year when things weren't going well?
Yeah, well, I think probably the complicated answer is that it's never one thing. And when you end a season 81-81 with what our expectations are and where we want to go, it's easy for me to say that we need to get better in basically every facet of the game. It doesn't mean that we don't have answers here. I think we absolutely do. But I think there is the ability to get better from within, not even talking about players to potentially add, but to stress getting better at how we play defensively, how we run the bases, scoring more runs, preventing runs with our pitching staff. So there's a lot of things that I think we can get better at. And if we can get a little bit better in each space, I think it's going to lead to a lot more wins in the future.
You guys got to the deadline, and it felt like it was more of a sell than it was a buy, and it turns out you wound up just three games short of where the wild card landed at 84 wins. Regret's probably too strong, but do you look back at that and think about the decision in a different way than you did in the moment?
No, I think I feel really comfortable that we made the best decision with the information we had at the time. I mean, look, I was really disappointed with how we played for really probably months on leading up to the trade deadline. Felt like it was the best thing to do for the future. We were fortunate to get a couple of players that actually impacted the team in the present and feel really good about, you know, the players that we got back being a big part of the organization going forward. So trade deadlines, they're never easy. I think every year it's a responsibility of the front office to look back and try and do a postmortem on that specific time. And we'll have time to do that now. I wish we were playing and we didn't have time to do that right now, but we will. And you try and learn from it and grow from it. But I am pretty excited about the players that we were able to bring back and trade.
Zach, can you let listeners know about the surgery on the left wrist that Bryce Eldridge is going to have? Like, what's the nature of the injury and sort of like what's the concern level or recovery time going forward?
Yeah, no, I think the recovery time is 6 to 8 weeks. Not a huge concern on our end. I mean, he should have really what we consider a very normal off season. So it's something that had bothered him. If you guys remember, he had missed a couple of days actually in spring training and kind of played through this wrist irritation throughout the year. So just felt like something we would get taken care of earlier in the off season so he can have as normal off season as possible come the spring training ready to go.
And I fully get that you're not going to promise anything to anyone here sitting in the month of October, but is it fair to say that the plan is to have Bryce Eldridge on the major league team to start next year?
Yeah, I don't know if I would go as strong to say it was the plan or it is the plan. I would say I thought Bryce handled himself really well. You know, I know it probably doesn't show great in the slash line for the year, but I thought he controlled the strike zone pretty well. He handled himself well defensively, all things that bode really well for his future and for 26. So there's always the possibility he opens with the team. You know, it's still somebody with not a great deal of minor league plate appearances and still a lot of room to grow. I'm sure there will be a time where a lot of that growth happens at the major league level. Whether that's opening day or not, it's just far away for us to say that. But we're excited that he's here, excited that he was able to get his feet wet, and looking forward to seeing him in Scottsdale.
One of the struggles and the frustrating point for a lot of fans was the defense this year. You were in the near bottom in a lot of the metrics. Kind of a silly question, but how do you get better on defense in the offseason at the major league level?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's things, and look, I've talked to both players about this. There's things I think with our outfield defense, you know, Jung Hoo and Ramos in particular, where there are some things that I think they can focus on to improve out there. You know, Jung Hoo himself talked to me about getting a little tentative at times and he wants to be more aggressive. So, you know, I do think there are things that those two in particular can do that will really help our outfield defense. I think as an infield group, you know, Patty, Bailey, everyone knows is one of the best, if not the best defender in baseball. I thought Rafi Devers played great over there the more and more he played. You got me, guys?
Now we got you.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were hoping it would just come back, and it did. Look at that.
Yeah. I do think there's a lot of positives there. But, you know, and obviously adding Drew Gilbert, I think his strong suit, he's a really good defender, right field, center field. So there's some things that I think internally we can look for improvement. And obviously it's something we can focus on as we talk about player acquisitions in the offseason.
General Manager of the Giants, Zach Manassian, is joining us here on Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Zach, I'm glad you brought up Patrick Bailey, and I know a lot of fans are wondering about this. With the addition next year of basically the review system of balls and strikes, Patrick's framing ability becomes less of a factor, I would think. So how does that rule change affect the way you view Patrick as your catcher?
Yeah. No, it's a great question. It's something we've looked at more out of curiosity for the industry. It's still going to be relative, right? Catcher's framing, I think it's still relative, and with Patty being so good at it, My hope is we're putting more pressure on the other team to challenge calls than any other team in baseball. So I still think it is a strength of his that is going to show relative to what other teams get out of their catchers. You know, does he save as many runs as he would otherwise without ABS? Probably not. But relative to other catchers, I still think it's going to show as a huge advantage.
Is there a chance if Jesus Rodriguez comes up and is able to catch and is a good right-handed bat, is it possible that Patrick Bailey would abandon being a switch hitter and just focus on being a left-hand hitter?
Man, yeah, it's a good question. I haven't really thought about that. I think excited about Pat's September and what he did, but that we haven't talked to Pat about ever taking away swinging the bat right-handed, at least not that I can remember, but obviously excited about Jesus and what he brings to the table. And I almost look at catching as it's almost becoming the NFL's version of the two running back system where it's just so demanding and you need to have two pretty good guys back there, and certainly excited that we were able to acquire Jesus.
Yeah, that's an interesting answer. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, and we're talking with Giants general manager Zach Manassian. Zach, I like the predecessor at the president of baseball ops position, Farhan Zaidi, spoke about this seemingly repeatedly after a few of his seasons, which is the Giants need to get more athletic. And then one way or another, it just kind of seems to never happen. So can you speak about where that is, and do you have that as a priority for next year?
Yeah, you know, I think a big part of it is, as a team, it's something we talked about early in spring training, getting more out of the athleticism that we have. So when we look at Ramos, Lee, Chapman, Adames, you know, these are guys, they can run. And so for us to be sitting here, I think we're second to last in stolen bases for the year. You know, those are things that hopefully we can push that issue a little bit, going first to third, scoring from first on a double. Hopefully the athleticism shows up with the defense. It certainly showed up on the left side of the infield, but getting more out of our outfielders' athleticism to improve their defense. So, yeah, it's always going to be something stress as an organization that we want to be as athletic as possible, because I just think it gives you a chance to win games in so many different ways.
A lot of fans are frustrated by the farm system and the development. You've got Bryce, who's close, a bunch of young pitchers who've come and flashed. What would you say to Giants fans about the overall state of the minor league system right now?
Well, I think it's taken a huge jump. Huge credit to Kyle Haynes, Randy Wynn, our PD staff, players like Bo Davidson, Dakota Jordan, younger players like Johnny Lovell, Joshua Gonzalez, so on and so forth. I mean, our San Jose team steamrolled the Cal League, won the championship there. So pretty excited about where it's heading. Pretty excited about some of our draft picks. Gavin Keelan in the first round, Trevor Cohen in the third round, Lorenzo Miola, fourth round, second baseman, center fielder, shortstop. So I think it's taken a huge jump. If I recall correctly, I don't remember if it was Major League Baseball or Baseball America actually had our system taking the biggest jump from last year to the end of this year. So we're heading in the right direction. I'm never going to be one that says, oh, yeah, we got enough talent, we're good to go. We always need to add more. We're always going to be challenging our amateur scouting group, international scouting group, PD, to churn out more and more players. But I think we're in a pretty healthy spot, and we'll just keep working at it to get better.
Zach, Buster said earlier today that he's thankful to have the ownership group that you guys have, because they're always going to be aggressive. I think fans look at Devers and Chapman and Adames and sort of think to themselves, well, that's probably as far as they're going to go in terms of big-name, high-priced type contracts. Is that accurate, or is free agency this offseason, or are more big contracts at least a possibility?
Yeah, it's tough to say. I would say our ownership group has been extremely supportive from the first day I walked in here, and I feel pretty lucky not only to be in this position, but to be in this position for that group. So, you know, certainly haven't heard no. But also, I think it's important that we become a type of organization that is mixing in younger players, not necessarily to manage payroll as much as to continue to have some youth and to be athletic, and younger players can have a chance to stay healthier. So not to say that keeps us out of free agency, but when there is opportunity for younger players, you know, as opposed to going and signing a second baseman, I thought Casey Schmidt grew, and hopefully he gets that opportunity next year. So we'll go into it open-minded, see what our chances are, and continue to work. But the ownership group's been extremely supportive.
Now, Zach, this might feel like a little bit of a weird one, but it's something that's come up on our show today. So broadcasting great Al Michaels was on with us about an hour ago, and you may know this, he does not eat vegetables. He's never had one in his entire life, apparently. And he same with Rams wide receiver Puka Nacua. Neither one of them have ever had a vegetable, and so this has been coming up with every guest so far today. So first, your thought on vegetables, your favorite vegetable, and how much of them do you include in your meals?
Oh, man, if you ask my wife, probably not enough.
Okay.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I am a fan of vegetables. I try to mix them in. I'm hoping to get better. I had some broccoli during lunch today, so I'll go with broccoli. It was actually like a spicy broccoli, so I'm sure the seasoning made it. I was probably playing for the tie there. but I am a fan of vegetables, so I'm in on vegetables.
If you had to DFA a vegetable, designate for assignment, you don't have to eat it ever again, what vegetable would you DFA?
Oh, man. Now we're talking tough ones.
Yep. We ask the hard questions, Zach.
No doubt, Zach.
I'll say this. I wouldn't DFA Brussels sprouts, but maybe the most overrated for me.
Wow. Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely sent down.
I know that might not be popular, but that's where we're at.
If a potential free agent sat in a meeting with you guys and was like, I'm not doing vegetables, would you hold it against him?
I'd say I don't do vegetables either if it's talking to a potential free agent.
you're like, me too. Yeah. Hey, Zach, a ton of fun to have you. Before you go, I wonder, I feel like this city, we feel like we know Buster Posey because it's Buster Posey. But we're also getting to know him in a new role, and I wonder what you could share with the audience in terms of what's that like? Like, what is it like to work alongside him? And maybe is there an aspect of that that people wouldn't expect?
Yeah, I mean, look, I have a one-year-old son, and I think I'm fortunate to work with someone where I think if my son grows up to be anything like Buster Posey, I'd be so proud. So I don't know if I can pay him a higher compliment. You know, as far as something maybe fans don't know or see is – you know, Buster, it's funny. He's just the complete package. He's empathetic, but he's a killer. And, he's tough, but he's understanding. He's a strong leader, but he welcomes everybody into that circle. So, you know, there's just so many good qualities about him. And I think something I respect as much as anything is how much this means to him, this organization, this city. And I mean, you guys know he doesn't have to do this. He doesn't need the fame. He doesn't need the money. I think he just loves the Giants. He loves the Bay Area, and he wants to try and give back and build a winner. So I feel very fortunate to work with him.
Love it. Love it. Hey, Zach, I know it's been a busy day. We really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for doing it.
Thanks, guys. My apologies to the Brussels sprouts.
No, that's okay.
No.
Spicy broccoli. I like we're going to give it a whirl. All right, Zach. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Zach.
Zach Manassi.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.